As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. It is Rusty Satellite Show number 49, if you can believe it. And it's the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I want to thank our sponsors, Passport Health Plans, for making this show possible. And, you know, get right to the fact that we have a couple of great guests on the show once again this week. As we're heading up to that magic number, we'll have 100 guests, our 100th guest in the next few weeks. So that'll be very exciting, I think. Anyway, I do appreciate you downloading the Rusty Satellite Show and listening to all this information about the city of Louisville and the people in it. I tell you today, you know, this is a post-Memorial Day show, and I'm really kind of worn out still. By the way, I am your host, Rick Redding, and I had a pretty good Memorial Day weekend. The highlight maybe may have been Monday. You believe this? I'm a 53-year-old man, and I almost can't believe I did this. But I rode from my home in Linden downtown to the mayor's hike, bike, and paddle event on Monday. It was a beautiful day. Thousands of people there riding their bikes and doing all kinds of stuff. I did not know this, and you probably don't know it either, because I've been to so many of them. This was the 10th. Anniversary of the hike, bike, and paddle events that the mayor puts on every Memorial Day and Labor Day. And this time, you know, it was started by Mayor Jerry Abramson, who was there. He got some big award that I saw while I was down there. And Mayor Greg Fisher has taken the concept and expanded upon it. He added a hike and a paddle thing, It's a really good fun event, weaving in and out of traffic. We rode from downtown to Iroquois Park, which is, you know, my favorite of the paths that are taken by the path. They sort of mix it up every year. But 10 years of the hike, bike, and paddle, and it was just a really good time this year. And but anyway, I rode all the from Linden down there, did the 15 miles, came back, rode back home to Linden, a total of about 40 miles, and then, believe it or not, rested up a little bit and walked 18 holes of golf at Seneca, and managed to, you know, have a really great outing with my girlfriend Paula and Rusty Satellite, two-time guest of Mark Hebert. We were out there. I shot, I'll tell you, my best outing of the year. I shot a 90 out there at Seneca. It was a lot of fun. And hope you had a great Memorial Day too, and it just points out that you know, sometimes there this is just a great place to live. So anyway, hope you had a good Memorial Day. I'm a little bit you know, it's Wednesday. I'm still tired from all that. It's it was a great weekend. But looking ahead, I had some great opportunity to interview some great guests on the for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. Stay tuned for the second half of the show. I'll have Stephanie White, who is in charge of Louisville Family Fun, an extraordinary blog and website, and she is a fellow blogger here on the Louisville.am network. I'll have her coming up in the second half of the show. But first, I you know, you probably don't know this, but there is a professional pole vault event that occurs every year in Louisville. This is the third year that Chip Heiser and the people at Heiser Health have sponsored the Vault in the Ville. It's a great event, and I learned a lot about pole vaulting this week. I went out to the Bowman Field. There's a hangar at Bowman Field where these pole vault guys have taken over. And I just found it interesting. I wanted to help promote the event because it sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to going down a week from Saturday, June 7th, to if you can imagine this, 4th Street Live. I've seen video of it, but I've never attended in person. They put up this long pole vault ramp, and these guys jump as high as 17, 18, 19 feet right there in the middle of 4th Street Live. So it ought to be a very exciting event, a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So I wanted to let my audience here at the Rusty Satellite Show in on it. So here it is. Here's my interview with Chip Heiser.
Hi, this is John Worth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
All right, here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show in an airplane hangar at Bowman Field, believe it or not, with Chip Heiser, a professional pole vaulter, among other things. Chip, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Gosh, you know, for our this is audio, so our viewers can't see the big pack of ice on your leg. You're sitting.
They can hear it.
What? Tell me about your weekend. You know, over Memorial Day, what'd you do?
I mean, I guess most people would go to their local pool or to their relative's house. I went down to Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Okay.
We call it the Pole Vault World Mecca. Kind of like we make our annual pilgrimage to Jonesboro to jump with Earl Bell. He's a former world record holder.
Okay.
Excellent coach. He's coached about 10 Olympians. A former American record holder. Just a really all around good guy. He kind of has the same setup that I do here in the airplane hangar. His is in a field. It's just a big pole barn, pretty much.
Okay.
But we went there for an event called Vault Stock. And
Vault Stock. Okay.
Vault Stock. Yeah, it's a once
I can imagine what that means, but
there you go. It's a bunch of pole vaulters that come to Jonesboro, Arkansas. They descend upon that city, and we jump in his facility, and ended up coming out of my shell, and I actually won the meet.
Wow.
Took some attempts at a new personal best. Had a good look at it, but just kind of ran out of steam. I guess my age is catching up with me. So.
Well, I have no idea what that. First of all, what's your age, and what is your personal best?
I am 29 years old, and I jumped 18-1 when I was 21 years old.
Okay.
I've been over 18 feet three times in my life, but very consistently over 17, anywhere between 17-6 and 17-10. This year we transitioned to a new coach, so I feel like I'm a much better jumper technically.
Okay.
And experience with age helps in the vault.
Sure. Now, I understand you're just a little bit on your background. You grew up around here, and tell me about your why pole vaulting and how you took that into college.
It's not a real long story, to tell you the truth. I did a lot of things when I was in high school and grade school. I swam, played ice hockey, tennis, soccer, baseball, all that stuff. And I didn't quite fit in any of those sports. I was decent at just about everything, but I didn't have that drive or the love or the passion for the sport. And so I told my parents, I can't find anything I like. I think I'm just going to stop. My dad was like, okay, let's try something. So I was fortunate enough, my father purchased a pole vault pit, put it in our backyard. Dad was actually a pole vaulter at Pleasure Ridge Park High School, and then he went on to the University of Florida and jumped for the Gators. So that's how I kind of got started in the seventh grade. I went through high school at St. X and ended up jumping fairly well. My training partner now, Chris Daniel, he came and trained with me through high school, and that's one of the reasons why I was one of the top recruits. I set the Kentucky high school record at 17 feet 1 inch and got recruited to Florida, of all places.
Okay,
so
well,
I followed in my father's footsteps for 1 year. I was a Gator, and then my coach was fired. So I transferred to the University of Oklahoma, and I spent my remaining 4 years. I was on the five-year plan. I redshirted one season.
Sure.
So
well,
I spent 4 years there. Jump for
well,
the Sooners.
It's very interesting, and staying with the sport, you know, after college is, I would assume that's got to be challenging.
It's very tough. You don't make much money in the pole vault. It's a labor of love. Mm-hmm. Most athletes who make money in the sport are the top five, the top three in the world, pretty much.
Right.
United States is a very tough country to compete in. There's always tons of people that jump really high. So it's really hard to come out of the sport and become that elite level. If you stick with it, you can do it. But, you know, the ability to put yourself through that rigorous training and still pay for, you know, rent and if you have kids or things like that. You have to work a second job, and that's tough.
Yeah. So, and I want to get to several things, but let's ask about your second job. I know a lot of members of your family, including your brother Will, who a lot of our listeners probably know from
Big Brother,
the crazy videos that he does.
Big Brother and his crazy, crazy YouTube videos. Yes.
And but you have a family business.
We do. It's called Heiser Health, formerly the Heiser Clinic. It's a physician-run and managed well care facility.
Okay.
We specialize in the science of nutrition and exercise. So it's pretty much like being prescribed an exercise, like a diet plan and a workout plan as well. But the physician is doing the prescribing. That's my father, Dr. Heiser.
Okay.
My mother is getting her nurse practitioner's license. Should be done next year. So she'll start working with him. I myself am vice president of business development. It's my job to kind of grow the business out into the community, get the word out. I also take care of our insurance dealings, so that's a little bit stressful.
So you all do companies and individuals?
Yes. We have corporate programs. We take care of a lot of major corporations, wellness programs, the Brown-Forman, Papa John's, Texas Roadhouse, Zeon Chemicals, and several other places, some firehouses here and there.
Okay.
And then we have our individual memberships. People can come in, see Dr. Sure. Heiser, and start our program if they need. You know, it's not just for people who are overweight or need you know, exercise and diet planning. It's for people who have just regular lives.
Sure.
We have people who do Ironman that work out at Heiser.
Well, I can imagine there's a lot of demand for that type of business. I want to shift gears, though, and talk about something really fun, because when you were describing to me that you all put a pole vault pit on 4th Street Live and have guys running up and down it all day, it was hard for me to imagine, but tell me about this event, Vault in the Ville.
Yeah, Vault in the Ville. It's our third consecutive year. It's kind of hard to imagine that it's already 3 years in. We put a pole vault pit in the middle of 4th Street Live, right in between the two overpasses, the north and south overpass. So you have the two levels you can watch from the ground and from the upper level. We start, it's usually the first Saturday in June. That'll be June 7th this year. We have all events going all day. We're partnering with CrossFit Bluegrass CrossFit. They're going to do a CrossFit competition during the day as well. So we'll have pole vaulting running from 9 a.m. all the way up to 11 p.m.
Wow.
High schoolers, open and masters division. So we have like cradle to grave jumpers. You know, we have 50 and 60 year old guys and girls coming in to jump, as well,
well
as
there's one 50 something guy that won't be jumping. I'll tell you that, but I can't imagine. Now you told me you even have a celebrity division.
We
so
do.
Wow me with some of the celebrities on your list.
Just before the elite competition goes off at 9 p.m., 7:30 sharp, we're going to have a local celebrity from around the city of Louisville come in and jump. We're going to try to get them over 7 feet for charity, if they can do it. None of them have come to train with me yet, so it's going to be a last-ditch effort. So far we have Perrin Jackson, the former University of Louisville basketball player. He was on Rick Pitino's national championship team.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the Amazing Race, she was a former U of L volleyball player. I'm blanking on her name right now. But we also have my brother, who was on Big Brother, the other reality show.
Okay.
He's
going to
pole vault. He was actually state champion for KCD, to tell you the truth.
Oh,
so
really?
Will is a pole vaulter. I'm going to try to get the mayor of Louisville to come out and take a jump. Of course, we got Ben Rhodes, who drives the Alpha Energy Solutions car. He's a NASCAR driver. He's going to come out and jump for us. as well as some local news anchors and reporters.
So some like media
Kirby Adams is going to do some jumping. Angie Fenton. They're actually filming in here tomorrow morning at Great Day Live. So we're going to get everybody going for charity.
Okay, and then this Elite Division is I guess the finale, the thing late at night. I guess you got guys coming in from out of town for that.
Absolutely, yeah. We take good care of everyone who comes in. It is the premier street vault in the United States. We call it the USA Street Vault Championships. It's invitation only. I invite all the vaulters in usually, and most of them are really good friends. We're a very close knit group. Vaulters are.
So I mean, if you would this be, if you had the list of the top 10 vaulters in the world, would some of those guys be here? Or
the top in the United States are coming, including one girl from Canada. She's coming down. She's our first international competitor. She's the Canadian national champion. Okay. We have the defending indoor national champion returning. His name is Mark Hollis. Last year's winner and previous indoor national champion, Jordan Scott, is coming. These are names I know no one knows, but they jump really high. We're hoping to clear 19 feet on the men's side and 15.6 or so on the women's. So it'll be a really, really good competition to watch. Very much so fun, too.
And is it, I mean, I'm guessing 4th Street Live, there's got to be music and stuff going on.
We have a live DJ playing. It's loud. People are drinking beer and eating food. I mean, we block off the street for the vaulters for safety reasons, so we don't like anybody to get too close because injuries are common in the vault. It is an extreme sport. There is an element of danger, but we make sure everyone's safe. We want everyone to come in to 4th Street Live. Anyone 21 and over can have beers. Or Budweiser's going to be out there. The upper level, once the Elite event starts, though, will be blocked off for 21 and over. That's our only problem. So the youngsters are going to have to stay down below with their parents. But we are bringing in bleachers this year. So you'll be able to see.
And you don't have to – do you have to pay to get in? Or
it is free to the public.
It's all free. And I know you have sponsors and such, so – the money is being, you're raising money for a cause?
Yes. We have multiple sponsors this year. Our major sponsors gave an inordinate amount of money that was so nice of them to help us put it on. Alpha Energy Solutions, Louisville Catholic Sport Network, 21C Hotels, excuse me, I'm blanking now. Who else? Audi of America, Bluegrass Audi. Okay. And I'll think of another one, I'm sure. How'd I get all, there's five of them, I'm pretty sure. Anyway. And Q Country 103.1, the radio station. Forgot about that.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic event, Chip, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing it. I don't think I've ever really seen pole vaulters in action. So
yeah, we want everybody to come out. The 2 years previously, we've had around 1,500 to 2,000 people. This year, we want to try to double that. We'd like to see around 4,000 people at 4th Street Live cheering, because it is a lot of fun, and you don't see this every day.
It sounds very unique, so we'll all look forward to it. Another unique feature in Louisville, and our thanks to Chip Heiser, one of the most interesting people in the Ville, for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Rick. I do appreciate it.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
All right, Chip, thank you very much. I was not about to attempt to pole vault. It's something I've never done, but Chip was telling me that the he had read somewhere or something. We can't back this up with research, but he said the most difficult feats in sports were hitting a curveball in baseball and driving a race car, a NASCAR, at 200 miles an hour and jumping, you know, like 18 feet on a pole vault. It seems like a really hard thing to do. So you know, hope to see you out there June 7th at the Vault in the Ville. This is the part of the show, the Rusty Satellite Show, where I talk about some things going on in town. There is a whole lot to talk about. I tell you, it's just an exciting time to be in town. I want to talk about my friend Gil Holland, who I witnessed. He spoke on a panel at a Business First Breakfast a week or so ago, and he's really, if you know, he's a Rusty Satellite alumni. He talked way back in last fall about Portland and the resurgence he's trying to help create in Portland. There's a story in Insider Louisville this week where Gil took a bunch of people on a bus tour of Portland and pointed out some facts that, like, a lot of people don't know. And, you know, Gil, you know, in my experience, is going to make it happen. He's going to make, recreate Portland as a vibrant community. He he points out there's some facts about Portland. A lot of people don't know that there's 1,400 vacant or abandoned properties there. A lot of which, you know, that's really an opportunity. And you know, there's a project called Waterfront Park West, and you know about the success of Waterfront Park and how well that's going. Well, you know, it's going to extend. There's designs in place, and there's an opportunity to extend that. I've ridden my bike down there west of downtown, and it's really it's great waterfront property. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops. So I would urge you to read the piece about Gill in Insider Louisville that just came out today on Wednesday. And the other big news in town about economic development, if you haven't heard, the longtime search for a new executive director at Greater Louisville Inc. has ended, and Kent Euler, a name that is familiar to a lot of folks in the business community, has been selected to be the new CEO. Now, this was a long search since Craig Richard, who came in from Houston, was supposed to solve all our problems at GLI. Euler is probably the best choice, I think, to head the organization. He's an entrepreneur at heart. He's got a great history in the city of building businesses, et cetera. And so he's going to take over at GLI June 1st. And that's sort of, you know, that's really big news. It's I guess it's bigger news because it took him so long to fill the position. And in the meantime, since Richard's departure, some of the duties of GLI have been taken over by the city. It's an important story, and you should pay attention to it. And it'll be interesting to see what Euler has in mind for GLI as an organization. It's very important to the city and the city's economic development. Okay, the other story I want to talk about was more news has come out in as a reflection or as a result of this audit of Jefferson County Public Schools. And now the Board of Education has passed a $1.3 billion budget. And, you know, I'm reading the story in the Courier. They say it will directly benefit students in their classrooms. But I'm not going to be satisfied until we see some pairing of the staff. This is a 10% budget increase over what it was last year. And that's the biggest increase. The Courier published a list of the increases, and it's the biggest in a long time, well over 10 years. And two of the board members, Rusty Satellite alumnus David Jones Jr. and Chris Brady, members of the board, and you remember, if you remember anything about the audit, one was that it criticized the JCPS board for not fully understanding the budget. And Jones, in his comments about why he objected to the budget, said he couldn't vote on the budget because he didn't feel like he had a grasp and an understanding of what all was in the budget. And, you know, I admire him for taking that stance. It seems that the other board members sort of went along with the recommendations of the board. It's a lot of money. I don't want to see them really spending any more money until they address the fat. You know, why are there 369 administrators making six figures over at JCPS? I don't get it. I saw the recommendations and the budget, and they seem like increases in areas that are not really going to benefit the system overall. Now I'll just read a few of these things that the budget initiatives include, and you can read it and make your own decision. I know these people know a lot more than I do about how to make the school system better, but they're spending $4.5 million to create transition centers at each middle and high school to help students coming back from an alternative school or an extended absence. Okay. Nearly $2 million to hire 16 mental health counselors who will be assigned to schools as needed. Really? They're going to hire 26 goal clarity coaches to help teachers with lesson planning, instructional modeling, and other needs at individual schools. They're going to hire college access resource teachers to help prepare high school students for colleges and careers. And here's another one, $1.5 million to add 240 seats to the early childhood education program. They're going to expand English as a second language programs. It just goes on and on as to new programs, new ways. It almost, a cynic would say, new ways to spending money at JCPS. So, I don't want to go on and on and complain about it, but we should pay attention to how this is, JCPS spends more money, more of our tax dollars than almost anything else. And they continue. It's like every year I've been through this. They have a ceiling at which they can raise taxes. And it seems like almost every year they go and the board votes to increase taxes to the highest level they can. There's a lot of problems with this. Don't really have time to go into it all, but the point is, my point is, the thing that really irks me is all these administrators making these high salaries. If JCPS wanted to do a public relations coup, they wanted to look good to the public, they would figure out a way to come out with a public announcement saying, you know what, we're not going to be known as the public school system that is too administratively too focused on administration, and our money goes to administration. That would be the thing. I'd like to see not to criticize Donna Hargens, but I'd like to see a businessman or a businesswoman go in there and really start, cutting people, cutting salaries, finding the waste, and making sure that we can compete with the other school systems to which we are compared, and change these embarrassing numbers. Percentage of total staff, the main one that hops out at you, 10% of JCPS staff members are administrators, and it goes on and on from there. So anyway, that's my rant about the school system this week. I'm a big fan of the JCPS. I've sent my three boys there. One is still a student at Eastern High School. I think he's getting a good education. I just don't think they spend their money wisely. And kudos to David Jones Jr. and Chris Brady for sort of standing up. But there's only seven board members. It's just there's a lot of problems there that need to be addressed. So onward and upward. I want to get on to my next guest. Now, I really admire Stephanie White. She is in charge, started Louisville Family Fund. And be honest with you, she did something that I was never able to do, which is attract advertisers and viewers to a website and make money at it. And she's done very well. Her site, Louisville Family Fund, is very entertaining. It's got a lot of different voices on there, and they are all about having fun and finding things to do with your kids in Louisville. And it's sort of a niche thing. She tells you in this interview that her audience are moms. They're young mothers. They're 25 to 40 year old mothers with kids, and looking for things to do, ways to spend their money, way to save money. It's just I can't tell you enough how great it is, the site. And it's interesting that she's very modest, but sites like hers in other cities don't seem to do nearly as well. So it's just an asset that we have in the city. And I think if you're listening to this, you ought to pay attention to Stephanie. She also has a podcast just like this one on the Louisville.am network. And she's sort of a fascinating woman. She's not a journalist. She was trained as a mathematician, or Well, not a mathematician. I guess she said she was a math teacher. You'll hear that in the interview. But anyway, let's get on with the interview with Stephanie White, and it's coming up right now.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is with Stephanie White. Like me, a fellow blogger, podcaster on the Louisville.am network. Stephanie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, you have tell our audience, I guess, first, that don't know anything about Louisville Family Fund, what it's all about and how it's grown so much.
Well, Louisville Family Fund started as just a little blog with myself and another mother, and when I moved here, it was about 4.5 going on 5 years ago, and I had two little kids, and I just really wished that there was one place where I could go for information rather than spending so much time trying to figure out what to do with my kids. Mm-hmm. So we created the website, and it's evolved into a full-blown kind of media outlet.
Yeah.
Free information for families and a great advertising venue for, you know, businesses trying to reach families.
It's a really big deal. I mean, I think a lot of people have that idea that this, oh, well, I'll create something that everybody will like, they'll go to, and they'll find things, everybody, like, including me. But you've managed to pull off make this a legitimate money-making business.
Yes, because I think it's the quality of the content in terms of it's a real voice from real parents here in Louisville. It's very genuine. I don't have any journalists writing for me. We don't really necessarily care about that kind of stuff. We care more about conveying a message in a way that readers can easily enjoy it. And get the message. And we also have like a calendar and other features on the website that keep people coming. But mainly the content is what drives the traffic, because that's what Google likes.
Yeah, of course. And certainly you're qualified as a mother to do this. What else did you your background that led you to this place? What happened?
Well, nothing necessarily. I didn't know anything about websites. I just always liked technology, and I like to figure things out. I was a math teacher, so I'm an example of kind of a good teacher can become anything, because I think teachers are highly trainable people, and I was a math teacher. So I kind of, the sales aspect of the website, I always tell people, well, I used to have to sell math to 35 kids who didn't want to learn math.
You know, we're selling it. No matter what we're doing, we're selling, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm selling something, right? So now I'm just selling a website. So I think maybe my lack of experience in sales helps me, because I'm just a person with a tool for an advertiser or a product for a reader that's passionate about it. And people can see that. I'm not trying to pitch them something.
Right.
I'm telling them about what I created and how great it is.
And you've, of course, recruited, I guess the qualification to be a writer for your site, you gotta be a mommy, right?
Yeah, well, not all of my writers are parents. Because it's a family-friendly website, it's not necessarily just for parents. You know, it could be just anybody looking for that kind of family-friendly stuff to do. But of course, most of the writers are moms. I've desperately tried to recruit fathers to write on my website, but there's just not, it's not as easy to come by as somebody willing to express their give their reviews and things like that as the women are. So I don't
know. That's something. Well, I'm a dad, so you know, we may be starting something here. You never know.
And so these are people, women that that have either were avid readers of the website, really loyal followers of the website that inquired about how do I write or how do I become part of it, or they're my friends or people that I met and I realized, hey, you have a particular interest that we don't cover necessarily. I don't have somebody that does that. Would you like to write for my website? And then it becomes this little family of writers.
Yeah.
It's not so little. There's about 15.
I know. It's sort of, I guess from my perspective, which is, you know, out in the, I don't want to say this as an insulting way, on the real media in the world
yes,
of covering politics
right,
and all that stuff, you know, you don't realize there's somebody like you out there who's got a bigger audience and making more money and doing all this stuff. It's just, I guess, fascinating to me that it kind of flies under the radar of people like me.
Yeah.
But I guess
it works.
Moms have some sort of network, some sort of way of knowing, right?
Yes. I mean, I'm giving this niche, this 25 to 45 female demographic, exactly the information they want right now for their life. Mm-hmm. And what interests them is their family, saving money, you know, going out and doing fun things and managing it all, you know, and not breaking the bank to do it. I mean, that's kind of like the main focus of the website, and so they just keep coming back. They never have to wonder. I always tell them, don't Google when you have Lou Fam Fun.
There you go.
They don't have to Google. If they Google it, they're going to land on our website anyway, so they should just go to our website. But that's what it's all about. Well, we don't get into politics or economics or anything, you know, government related.
Right, the boring stuff.
We give people that kind of fun, positive information that they're looking for.
And well, let's talk about some of the, you know, some of the things. I mean, do you actually go out and do things and then come home and write about it?
I mean, the writers do. So the way it kind of works in the past, before the website was generating the kind of revenue that it did, I would be doing everything. Me and like two other moms, we'd be running around crazy, doing everything, coming home, writing as fast as we could because we had to maintain the content delivery.
You gotta feed the beast.
Yeah, feed the beast. So it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning and we're, you know, doing these, we try to do it because, oh, if we don't do it now, we're not gonna do it. You know, right. We have to do it now. But now the way it happens is I'm the representative, I'm the owner, I'm business growth, and I do the taxes and some of the stuff that I look at the writers and say, oh, that must be nice. But the writers, we have a forum. They pitch ideas. I pitch ideas. I get opportunities sent to me where they're inviting, you know, it's a media opportunity or they want somebody to come review something. And I give that to the writers. And then we have a schedule and a process for getting the content onto the website. And then there are regularly occurring, recurring pieces every quarter, every year that the writers do.
Okay. Now, you were telling me there's an even bigger, newer project on the horizon.
Yeah,
Family Fun.
Not too long ago, it was about 6 weeks ago, somebody Googled. I keep track of my Google analytics very tightly.
And like a good math teacher would.
Like a good math teacher with like a policy analysis master's degree. That's what I did statistics in you know, my master's program, so I love it. And I watch it closely, and I kept seeing that people were Googling Kentucky words, not just Louisville. I pretty much, if you Google Louisville and family and kids, I get that. We get those searches, but we were getting searches for Kentucky. And I said, well, you know, that's kind of, we're niche, we're Louisville. I said, I think I know my next project has to be Kentucky Family Fun. So luckily for me, I'm a well-networked kind of blogger, and I've got a Northern Kentucky blogger, I've got a Lexington blogger, and I have an Elizabethtown blogger who have websites like mine for their cities, and we're all going to do it together.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be great.
One big happy. So you don't have to go down to Mammoth Cave and go exploring.
No. We all have our own staff. We all have our own writers. We all have our own website and expertise, and we're going to bring it together to kind of showcase what the whole state has to offer.
Wow.
So it'll be great. And business side, it applies to a whole different set of potential advertisers. You know, there were some advertisers where it wouldn't benefit them to be on Louisville Family Fun. It's just too focused on this city. Mm-hmm. And this kind of opens it up to that. And maybe somebody that wouldn't advertise in just Northern Kentucky or just Lexington, and now they can get it because it'll be all channeled through all of our popular sites and you know, back and forth between all of them. So
that's you know, what I think a lot of people dream about. Get something that works. And duplicate it in another area. So.
And so we'll see. It's going to be fun. I'm going to manage that. We have kind of a skeleton out there of the website, and it's going to grow gradually because I got a lot to do. I'm busy.
Well, I understand that. And you know, speaking of busy, you know, just because we're trying to tell our listeners about you, you also managed to actually work a job.
Yes, I work full-time for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Kentuckiana. So it's really exciting. But I do kind of the same thing. I do fund development and marketing and outreach. I cover Oldham and Shelby counties for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I came to that organization because of Louisville Family Fund, because I've been supporting them over the years for about 2.5 years as a donor and as a business, giving them, you know, kind of ad space and providing them with media. And when I decided to go back to work, it was just a really good fit, being a former math teacher and just loving kind of kids, but also loving the Louisville community and networking. It was a good match.
Yeah, well, it seems like hearing all you do and everything, you must have some great time management advice, because, you know, you've got a lot of balls in the air, it seems like. Me with your time management advice.
Survive, no. I think part of it is being able to delegate. Mm-hmm. I don't do it all. You know, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I work on a team, and I'm not going to do more than, you know, I'll do exactly what I need to do, go above and beyond. But if there's somebody that can complement that on the team, then I'm going to get their help. Right. And same thing with Louisville Family Fund. I'm able to do more and have a greater impact if I actually give trusted, qualified people who have proven themselves more and more responsibility, like I've done on Louisville Family Fund. I have a wonderful, wonderful content manager, Erin, and I just keep adding, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And do you want to do this? And she keeps doing more. So allowing other people to do things for me is my way of time management. I can't add more hours to the day, so I have to give up some of this stuff. Right. So that would be my advice, that you don't, it's not about trying to squeeze in more and more and more. It's find people to work with and help you. Give up some duties. You can't. I could not possibly do both of these things solely.
Yeah. Well, sounds like good advice. So we'll leave it with that. Stephanie, thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
Okay, Stephanie, I still don't understand how she gets it all done, a full-time job, and she's got all these blogger writers for her. But she makes a good point about delegating responsibilities. That's how you get multiple things done. So anyway, thanks to Stephanie White, and thanks to you, listener, for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chip Heiser. And believe it or not, we're up to like 96 guests on the Rusty Satellite Show. So we've only got 4 more to get to 100. And I'll tell you that unless something goes wrong next week, I have a very special guest. I have the Congressman John Yarmuth, who I've got an appointment to visit his office and talk to him about some things. And so that'll be great. And we'll have, you know, another guest and more guests on the Rusty Satellite Show. I thank you very much for tuning in. It's a lot of fun doing this show. And I've been wearing my T-shirt around and passing out some T-shirts. And there's a lot of great momentum going with the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks again to my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, and to all my guests who appear on the show. And lastly, to Dan Vonderhyde, who puts the show together on the Louisville.am network. Until next week, this is Rick Redding signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I